The call to post means it's time for Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. We're talking thoroughbred racing and breeding from Virginia, around the Mid-Atlantic, and across the country. Off to the Races is powered by the Racing Biz, the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Find them at www.theracingbiz.com. Now here's your host with Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Off to the Races podcast style. My name is Frank Vespi, and we are going to be digging into the future of Pimlico and, more broadly, Maryland racing as a whole in the next half hour or hour. Wanted to do that. Wanted to get a couple of people to join us who are sort of passionate fans or of one proposal or another. But briefly, the issue with Pimlico is pretty simple. Last December, the Maryland Stadium Authority proposed issued a study that proposed a new Pimlico that would cost about $424 million. The Stronach Group, which owns Laurel and Pimlico as the Maryland Jockey Club, is not inclined to spend that sort of money on Pimlico and instead has been pushing a plan that would allow it to bond out monies that are available to it and to use those monies to create a new so-called super track at Laurel Park, as well as to reopen the Bowie Training Center facility. The city of Baltimore, on the other hand, has proposed legislation that would create a study group to try to help it figure out how to fund a new Pimlico. These are perhaps not mutually exclusive pieces of legislation, but it is likely that the future of one is going to greatly impact the future of the other two. So to have this conversation, I want to bring a couple of people who feel passionately about these issues, though they are from opposing perspectives. The first person going to introduce here is Mary Beth Kalinich. Mary Beth is a lifelong Baltimore area resident, fan of horse racing. She is co-administrator of the Friends of Pimlico Baltimore Facebook group, and as you might guess from that, a big fan of Pimlico. Mary Beth, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate coming in and speaking on behalf of Pimlico.
Well, Old Hilltop itself does not have a voice, but we appreciate your lending yours to it. Your counterpart here, the other person we're going to bring in, is Kevin O'Keefe. He's also a lifelong Baltimore area resident. He's a lawyer and lobbyist in Annapolis. He first attended racing at Pimlico in 1982. Over the last decade or so, he's been a participant in several racing partnerships and has been a vocal advocate of the Stronach Group's Super Track plan. Kevin, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for this opportunity.
Well, I think I'm hopeful we'll have fun, or at least we won't kill each other in the next next few minutes as we talk about these issues. And Mary Beth, let me start with you. Talk a little bit about why you believe it's so important to preserve Pimlico.
Well, it has to do with history, tradition, economics, and supporting the community. I think that a lot of people are very familiar with the history of Pimlico. I could go on and on for a half an hour about the history, but it's 150 years old. We've seen 13 Triple Crown winners. We've seen two of the greatest match races of the century in two different centuries. The track should be honored for its history, and you really can't take the history with it. The tradition of the Preakness originated in Baltimore. The heart of it is in Baltimore. It attracts people from Baltimore and all around the world. The economics in the city are pretty obvious, and you really can't take the economics, the tradition, or the history out of Baltimore and expect it to work in another location. We really need to support the community as a whole and keep the facility there to keep generating jobs and generating the economy.
Kevin, what about that? What about the history here? Obviously, as Mary Beth alluded to, Secretariat and Cigar and Seabiscuit and all the Triple Crown winners and on and on and on. All these things have happened at Pimlico, which gives it an honored place in not only Maryland, but national racing history. If you close it down, that's gone. What about that?
Well, I mean, one of the things I've said, I appreciate history very much, but things do change. Nothing's forever. I mean, Memorial Stadium, I spent many time there watching Johnny Unitas, Brooks Robinson, Frank Robinson, and it was time for change. And then they built two new stadiums in downtown Baltimore. One thing I've said in some of my writing, let's take the history. Let's move it to Laurel. Let's create a museum there. Let's call it Pimlico at Laurel, because the main thing I think is not so much preserving the history, but maintaining a strong racing product. And the three of us, you talk about common ground, the three of us love horse racing, love Maryland horse racing. But the reality is it's a challenge because it's not a growth industry. There's too much competition for the gambling dollar. And if you look at statistics on handle, it went from in 2002 to nationwide $15 billion, and now it's, I think, around $11 billion. It went down steadily for about 8 years, and now it's creeping back up. And most of that handle is generated not on track but off track.
Well, so you've identified the area of common ground. We're all insane because we're all horse racing people. But Mary Beth, what about that? Could you, Kevin proposes essentially you do things at a new Laurel Park that would honor Pimlico and preserve those memories, but situate Maryland racing to be a growth industry going forward?
Well, first of all, I think that Pimlico is a living museum. It already is a museum. I think that a standalone museum at Pimlico would benefit the horse racing industry and the city. Not a museum inside the facility, but a building on the grounds, standalone, to celebrate horse racing, the Preakness, Pimlico, Maryland racing, would be a huge attraction for national horse racing and for the city. And that's a concept nobody has come up with. I also think that Laurel has its own rich history to be celebrated. It has had the DC International that they're trying to revive, but it kind of had a little hiccup. I think that there are many things about Laurel and Bowie that have to be celebrated, and I'm all for moving forward with completing the renovations at Laurel and renovating Bowie. But I think that we have three distinct properties that all have value and all have something to offer, not only Maryland racing, but national racing. I think that national racing at this point in America is at a crucial point. Right now, there is so much that racing has to worry about as far as their fan base and the conception that the public has, the image that the public has with racing. You could take Memorial Stadium and move the sports from that stadium, football and baseball, into new facilities because they were thriving sports. They get coverage in the press. They get coverage on local television. Racing doesn't have that. They no longer carry the card in local newspapers. They no longer have features in the Sunday set sports section. They should be carrying the featured race every night in the sportscast on local television. It's a sport. It's a year-round sport that runs on a daily basis that gets absolutely no coverage. Where are the PR people? Where are they trying to get coverage for this sport? A wholesome coverage for this sport, the heart of the industry. That is what's going to build Maryland racing. Not exposing a super track that's kind of off-putting to the average fan.
Why is the super track off-putting to the average average fan?
Because you're trying to attract people right now who have big dollars. And the average fan doesn't have big dollars. The fan with the heart, the fan that wants to go every day, that wants to stand out on the apron and watch the horses come up through the post parade, that wants to go down to the paddock, that average fan doesn't have big dollars.
Kevin, what's your take on that? And particularly, you have sort of advocated the super track solution, let's call it. What do you see a super track as? What does that mean to you? And And one other question is sort of why Laurel and why not have it at Pimlico?
Well, I think two things. One of the thoughts is that it is a shrinking industry in the sense of you don't have the day-to-day common interest in racing like you had at one point in time. So for that reason, to me, it doesn't make sense for one entity to have to maintain two costly structures in order to do horse racing in Maryland. And why Laurel, not Pimlico? I just think for financial reasons, the Stronach Group have chosen, they think it makes more sense to consolidate Maryland racing at Laurel. And the talk about the people in the apron, I mean, I agree. You look at the old film clips of Seabiscuit, there's, what, 20, 30,000 people there in the middle of the week. But I was at Pimlico last meet, and I took a photo of the apron, and there was literally nobody there in the middle of a race car. Now, there were people at the track, but they're not attracting people. They're not getting, other than Black Eyed Susan Day and Preakness Day, they're probably not getting more than 2,000 people or 3,000 people on any of the other given 10 racing dates.
But could you not?
So, and
I don't think
the other thing you talk about, the cost. Well, I think one of the things that I give Sal Sinatra and Tim Ritvo credit for is that when they came in, when Sal came in, he eliminated the cost for entrance and also parking. And to me, that was a gesture, understanding the racing fan. The racing fan wants to be able to go in. Sometimes you were down $20 before you made your first bet if you bought a program. So they're trying to ease that cost. And, again, this is a place where they're going to win. Most days you're going to lose money or many days. So I think that was a nice gesture. And I think what the talk of super track, I don't necessarily consider it a super track, I would call it one improved track that has the ability to attract people. One of the problems, I think, in racing today, people aren't waking up, maybe the three of us, but aren't waking up on a nice Saturday and saying, let's go to Pimlico, let's go to Laurel. And that's just the reality. So maybe with one new track and more advertising, you're right, more public relations, people will start coming back. I mean, I've been to Keeneland, Kentucky Downs and Kentucky races 5 days. They get a nice crowd. I mean, that's what they have to do. Go to the colleges. There's so many colleges in the Baltimore, Washington area. Get people and have a college day, alumni day, different business groups. So that would be an opportunity.
Yeah, I don't want to go too far down the marketing rabbit hole because
okay.
Everyone has ideas of how the tracks could market better, and that's a little bit beyond the scope of what we want to focus on here. But Mary Beth, so you want to preserve Pimlico for these sort of reasons that you've outlined. How do you pay for it?
Well, it's going to have to be a group effort. Obviously, Stronach does not want to put some money in. They actually, in the beginning, were very gung-ho about paying for changes at Pimlico. They had made many, many plans in the early days, and then they committed to the 10-year plan in 2013 and made plans to improve Pimlico. They made plans to improve not only the facility but the backstretch. It's very confusing to fans to hear them make promises and then see nothing done. And then to hear comments like Pimlico is held together with duct tape and bubble gum. Well, who put the bubble gum on there? It wasn't the fans. It's kind of an insult to fans to expect them to come to an elite event and be subjected to an inferior facility. You can put paint on a facility and make it look pretty, but the interior is falling apart. And they have a responsibility to the fans and to the national racing community to offer a premier venue. And I understand that people are saying that would be Laurel Park. But Laurel, you've got to understand also that Laurel is pretty far away from being able to host the Preakness. Now, Pimlico can hold more fans, and that's a fact. So putting the money into Pimlico would not be a bad investment. I think that the city has an obligation to invest in it, not necessarily an obligation, but they have a vested interest in investing in Pimlico. I think the state has a vested interest in investing. They have put millions of dollars already into Maryland Racing. So why not follow through on that and get a return on your investment? I do think that this drag company should make some kind of gesture towards an investment because they have reaped the benefits of public money in Maryland for Laurel. And they should make some gesture to the public acknowledging their contribution.
What do you say to that, Kevin?
Well, I think they have to make a business decision. The Stronach Group, I think they've done a good job of running racetracks. What they've done at Gulfstream Park in terms of increasing the handle, the number of horses in races, innovative things like bringing the claiming crown down there. And in Laurel, I mean, I think you also see that what they've done in terms of improving the fan experience, putting in some new bars and just trying to, again, increase different bets, the pick five, low takeout. I think that's they're making a business decision. And in the ideal world, it would be great to have two tracks. But one of the things I see is there's not a whole lot of people that interested in horse racing. I mean, there really isn't. I mean, I say that wistfully. I mean, I look at like different. I was at an event the other day, and a guy that's a big Baltimore supporter lives in about 3 miles from the track, in his 60s. I was stunned. He said he'd never been to Pimlico. So this nostalgia for we got to save the history. And another thing is you say how big Pimlico is, but if you look at sports stadiums, baseball stadiums, the trend was to go from big stadiums to smaller stadiums because that, I mean, I think there's just an understanding. It's a better fan experience. And Laurel does need to, there probably does need to be some hiccups taken care of in terms of handling the crowds and all, but it'll be different. People talk about the big day of Preakness. Well, you might have 80,000 people in the infield, but how many days do those 80,000 ever come back to the race day?
Mary Beth, you want to jump on that?
Yeah, I do. The point is, are we marketing to those 80,000 fans in the infield? Are we trying to entice them to come back with any offer? Do you hand out coupons for the next weekend to bring them back? Are we doing anything to entice anybody that comes to the track to come back? Are we doing anything to market to other sports fans in the city or in the state to come to Pimlico? What we need to do is tap in, like you said, to the college students, to tap into other sports fans, to let them know that racing is exciting. And it's nice to add restaurants and bars to tracks. But your fun, your attraction is out on that racetrack. That is what it is. Gulfstream Park is a huge venue, but most of it has nothing to do with horse racing. And a lot of people can't afford to go there. They have minimums where you go in when you go into different establishments. It's very expensive to go to Gulfstream. And they were operating Calder, which is Gulfstream West, right next door. In California, they have Santa Anita and Golden Gate. So this premise that they can't afford two tracks in the same state doesn't exactly work.
Well, let me jump in there for a moment because they don't own Calder. They're just operating it. Churchill still owns it, I believe. And Golden Gate is nowhere near Santa Anita. I mean, one's in Los Angeles and one's in San Francisco.
Well, yes,
which is different from...
Yeah, I'm sorry. One of the other points I've been making is I think Bill Cole, who heads economic development for Baltimore City, said this would losing the Preakness would be like losing the Colts in Indianapolis. And a point I think everybody has to realistically understand is it's not like that at all. where I live in downtown Baltimore, and it's 20 miles from my house to Laurel Park, and it's about 9 miles from my house to Pimlico. So you're in the same area. I mean, so people will still be able to go to the racetrack. This will not affect anyone's ability to go and see live racing, the consolidation at Laurel. So to say otherwise, it's just not really an accurate statement.
There's a huge difference between 9 miles and 20 miles. There really is, especially when you're traveling in Maryland on highways. And there's a huge difference when you're at one facility and you're staying in, say, the Hilton in Baltimore, as opposed to going to Laurel and staying in the Hilton in Washington, D.C. For two reasons. It's much, much farther. And you're giving the economy, you're boosting the economy in Washington. You're not boosting the economy in Maryland. So taking the Preakness to Laurel, you're cutting your attendance in half. Yes, you're going to have very expensive luxury boxes that will sell probably for three times what a luxury box that they have now at Pimlico would sell for. But you're cutting your attendance in half. You're cutting out the little guy, and you're sending half of your patrons to Washington. So you're taking half of what you the tax revenues out of Maryland. So you're not going to be supporting Maryland, and you're not going to be supporting Maryland horsemen. I understand the business plan, and I understand the concept of consolidation makes sense in a business plan for the Stronach Group, but it doesn't make sense for Maryland. It doesn't make sense for Maryland horsemen. And the business plan of a super track with satellite off-track betting facilities, is that what we want for the future of horse racing? We want people to come and see the horses. It's fun to go to an off-track betting facility. I know a lot of people that do it, and right now Pimlico is an off-track betting facility. Mm-hmm. But we want people to physically come to the track, to look at the sport, to learn the sport, to understand the sport, to understand the best part of the sport. Right now, the only thing that's getting publicity is the ugly side. What we want them to see is the beautiful side of the sport. And they can't get that at an off-track betting facility. All they think about...
Isn't that the whole premise of what they're doing at Laurel right now? Is, I mean, all those improvements and free admission... All of that is to encourage people to go there for the live product, is it not?
Yes, it is. But not to be a cynic, you also don't count heads when you don't charge admission.
I think we all know there aren't a lot of heads there. a lot of heads at almost any.
And there hasn't been a lot of heads at Pimlico or Laurel for a long time. And one of the things about off-track betting facilities, about 90% of the handle, I think, nationwide, is generated off-site.
Exactly.
I mean, that's
but
just the world we live in. I mean, even on the big days, I mean, Churchill Downs, how much money do they generate off-site? I mean, that's just the world we live in. And you think about, another thing to think about, look at the tracks that have closed. Nobody's building racetracks anymore. I mean, you look at... Garden State, Atlantic City, Hollywood, Bay Meadows, Colonial Downs is reopening, but they closed for a while, Axar Bend in Nebraska. And there's just nobody's building tracks anymore. It's a contracting industry in that sense. And try to find a new ownership group. Who's out there buying tracks? People that buy tracks, they do it for the gambling, for the casinos, I think. Some of the biggest track operators are Penn National Gaming, Churchill Downs, and their primary thing are casino operators.
Now, Kevin, I wanted to ask you this.
Yes.
Sorry to jump in on you there. But,
no, I'm sorry. Go ahead. No.
There's been this situation, I think you both have alluded to it briefly, but at Santa Anita, where they've had 22 equine mm-hmm. fatalities, they've had to close down for live racing. It's been a big issue, and it strikes me, but I'm curious to get your response, that if I were the Stronach group, I sure wish I, you know, that's a circumstance where I would sure love to have another track nearby that I could just move my days to, but they don't. And in Maryland, that situation, you know, we would be in a situation where racing, that would just be that for the time being. Does that make you, give you any pause at all in the, in terms of the idea of going down to a single track here?
No, I mean, that's, you raise a very good point. I just think the cost, the entire cost benefit analysis makes it hard to put in whatever. If you take $400 million to upgrade Pimlico and in order to have it for 12 days, and I agree, they've cut it back 12 days, you have more. But I think you can't just say we need another track in case there's breakdowns. And it is a terrible thing when that happens. And that is a doesn't make it easy to generate new fans. But unfortunately, it does happen. It seems like it happens in clusters at different times. I know Aqueducts had it happen. I think Del Mar, Saratoga even some summers. And it's, there's no real clear understanding, even with what they're trying to do at Santa Anita. I don't know if it's because of the ground, the soil. I know they had a lot of rain, but then they're, I guess, examining the horses and why they died. So it's a terrible thing. But I don't know if there's any easy answer to that.
No, I think clearly there is not. What about you, Mary Beth? I mean, do you look at that and say, gee, that's an argument for keeping a second track around?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because right now they're taking an economic bath at Santa Anita. Between the trainers not being able to use the track, the number of horses that have died, I mean, it's very sad that that there's been equine loss of life, but that's costing money. I mean, I don't want to equate the life with the money, but it's costing a tremendous amount of money. A lot of trainers are leaving. If they had a second track where they could just move to, it would have saved a lot of money, a lot of heartache. And I'm going to tell you a story, and I can't remember the exact year it happened because I don't have my computer working. There was a year where the weather was so bad in Maryland that they had to move every single racing day from Bowie and Laurel to Pimlico and run the entire year at Pimlico and split the revenues from the meet between all three tracks. And if they hadn't had Pimlico, they wouldn't have had a racing calendar that year. So there are definitely benefits to keeping the two tracks open. Also, I think a lot of people forget that that is a training facility. Right now, Pimlico is a training facility. There are a lot of trainers who are stabled there, and that track is used every single day. There are people who live there that have lived there for generations. Their families have lived there and worked there. So there's an awful lot to consider when you're closing Pimlico. It's not just we're going to close it up because it's not economically viable for this company to run two tracks. There are many, many things to consider when you're closing a business in Baltimore. We're not just closing down a sports facility. We are closing a business in an economically depressed community. So that's, you gotta think about the whole entire picture when you're thinking of that. But you also, what benefits the horsemen? What benefits the community? What benefits the state? You have to think of all of those facets of what this is going to do. And yes, it would benefit the state and the horsemen to have three facilities, three working training facilities. If we want to grow the Maryland horse industry, three working training facilities would be ideal, because we want to attract more horsemen to Maryland. We want to attract more stallions to Maryland. Right now, we have more top-class stallions coming into Maryland. We want to keep that momentum going. We don't want to shut it down. And we don't want to stop that momentum going.
Understood. I'm going to let you guys go. I said I'd get you out of here in a half hour, so I'm going to do that. Kevin,
well, Kevin,
last thoughts?
What's that?
Last thoughts. What do you last words? What do you want to leave the people with?
I think that in the ideal world, it would be great to have two tracks. I would love to have two good tracks, but I think as racing is shrinking, that there has to be a business decision that's a public and private business decision. And to me, it makes sense to consolidate racing days at Laurel and open the Bowie training facility. And also, don't forget, we have Fair Hill, which is really one of the great gems of racing in the world in Maryland also. I think you have to understand that full crops have gone from 45,000 to just over 20,000 since 1988. Number of races have gone from 74,000 to 36,000. So I think we have to really make sure we maintain what we have. And I think it'll work out for the best.
All right, Kevin, thank you. Mary Beth, last thoughts?
Well, first of all, thank you, Frank, for this opportunity. And Kevin, it's been a pleasure to meet you.
You too.
Well, thank you. And I think that we need to step back a little bit more and really look at the big picture and see if what's best for Maryland horse industry as a whole, not just what's best for one corporation. And right now, that's what we're doing. We're looking at what's best for one corporation. If you look at Pimlico and the Preakness, the attendance has gone from 123,000 in 2014 to a high of 140,000 plus in 2017, with really, really bad weather in between some of those Preaknesses. Even last year, almost 135,000 with torrential rain. We're bringing people to the races. People are interested in coming to the Preakness. I have fans on my page that tell me it's their first Preakness and they can't wait to get there. They're so excited. The handle went from 83.7 million in 2014 to 97 million in 2017. We've got to be doing something right in Maryland to have that happen. So that momentum, we don't want to stop. We want to encourage it to keep going. Pimlico will be 150 years old next year. Do we really want it to be its last year? Or do we want to celebrate it and embrace it and encourage that and get 100? If it's 150 years old, let's get 150,000 fans out there to celebrate it. Why aren't they? Why shouldn't we start this year in a media blitz that Pimlico is 150 years old? This is the 100th anniversary of Sir Barton winning the Preakness. And there's nothing. So I'll leave you with this. Racing needs to embrace its own, and Maryland needs to celebrate its history, whether it's at Pimlico, Laurel, or Bowie. And what we need to do is we need to reflect the past in our future, because that's what racing is. It's the history. It's the love. It's the heart. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you both very much. Appreciate your joining us here on this Off to the Races podcast, talking about the future of Pimlico and Maryland racing.